Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD. At this time, I'd like to open the meeting and ask for a roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Graves?
Present.
Director Madison?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Here.
All right, all present. At this time, I'm going to open the meeting to public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. And tonight I sit in the chair. Is there any public comment? There is no public in this meeting, so I will now close public comment. At this time, I'd like to turn the meeting over to legal, please.
Thank you, President. Board members, the board is now adjourned in closed session regarding action item D1. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Here comes Bill, front and center.
All right, council, I'd like to bring us out of closed session, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Board is reconvened from closed session regarding special meeting agenda item D1. All five board members were present during the entirety of the closed session. There's no reportable action. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. At this time, I'd like to adjourn our special session here, closed session, and we will start the meeting at 7:15. Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD. At this time, I would like to open the meeting and ask for everyone to actually like to introduce the Boy Scouts of America, Troop 514, and I'd like to have them lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Come to the front, guys.
Color Guard, attention. Forward march. Prepare to post the colors. Please follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Color Guard, post the colors. Color Guard, about, face. Color Guard, dismiss. Audience may be seated.
Well done and thank you, Boy Scouts. At this time, I'd like to have a roll call, please.
President Steele?
Present.
Vice President Graves?
Here.
Director Madison?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Here.
Excellent. Public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a time limit of 3 minutes. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. So at this time, I'd like to open public comments. Do we have any slips?
No.
Would anybody like to come to the front and speak? Come on up. There's a button on it.
Is it on?
Why is the leg so down? Your
low. The Willow Lake? Willow Lake you're talking about?
I think so.
Okay. Staff, do you want to give us an update on Rec 800?
I can't answer that question. We will find out and I can get an answer.
The lake is down because of the weed, Gardenza weed, in there, and they had to spray. They applied the last application about 2 weeks ago, and it's the game plan to start to put water back into that lake probably next week.
Thank you.
All right, you're ready to swim.
Good question.
Anybody else like to have a comment? At this time, I'm going to close public comment. I'll turn this over to our legal please. Item C.
Thank you, Mr. President, Chair, to the board members. The board is now convening in a closed session.
I'll report out. I'm sorry, a point of order. On item C, I'm going to ask that we postpone item C to another date. And
C and D.
Yeah, C and D. Any comment from the public? No? Okay, let's move on then.
So
C and D will be postponed.
They're postponed.
Yes.
Later tonight or to another
meeting?
On
another date.
Thank you, sir.
All right. At this time, we're going to move on to item F, presentations. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'd like to bring John Fawcett up from Ludorf and Scamandini. As you know, they are our water wells district, our water district engineering firm, and they are going to present to us this evening a report on the status of well 5A. As you know, we've been having some difficulties over there with that well with some high TDS members. So John, can you go ahead and give us that presentation?
Thank you.
Minutes to talk, and I think what I'll do is go rather quickly through it. We have some detailed information with us in the form of some cross sections and technical details. So if people want to have questions, we can address them after this presentation. But I want to mainly hit on the main issues here and leave it open for questions at the end in case there's interest. So you can't see this table very well. Maybe people have overheads, I'm not sure, but if you look at the historic data, well 5A, as discussed even in the water master plan, has higher TDS than the other wells. It has been higher ever since it was constructed. There's a history out there that relates with the well relative to TDS, and there's also issues of corrosion. For example, there was two wells. The first well had problems with salt. The second one had problems with salt as well. There was corrosion of the well casing and corrosion also of the pump components, a section called the column pipe, which the water runs in. So it always was high, and the master plan recognizes that. The master plan pointed it out as a concern relative to the other wells and something that had to be monitored. And then ironically, right after the master plan was finalized, it didn't take long before we had some detections of high TDS. So what we proposed to do was first some well 5A online testing, and the district did this testing themselves. We said, hey, let's make sure that this data that we're seeing, this high TDS, isn't just a one-shot deal. So the district monitored 5A for a week, several times a day, took samples, and sure enough, it stayed elevated for some time. When I'm talking elevated, it's equal to or over what the regulatory limit is. It's not, by the way, a health concern. It's more an aesthetic concern because the water would have a tendency to taste a bit salty. So we proposed doing some dynamic flow testing. I'll get into that in a bit. Some water quality analysis. We pulled the pump. We looked at the pump column. We did some static testing, and we did a video survey of the well, meaning we lowered a camera down in the well, and we looked at it to see if it was structurally damaged. So remember, the purpose of this whole investigation is to first to look at where the salts are coming into the well, and then is the structural integrity of the well intact? Is there corrosion? Is there damage to the well casing? Is there damage to the well pump column pipe? So two parts is try to get a handle on where the salts are coming from and how and what sections of the well are they coming to, and then is there any structural damage to any components in it? So here's a graphic of a dynamic test. And the dynamic test, if you look at the well on the left, it's a schematic, and there's two screens. First, there's two wells out there. Well 5A, well 5 was abandoned, and then there's 5A 40 feet away from it. They have screen intervals. And screen intervals, in this case, you can see where they are on that diagram. I can't see the exact depths, but there's two intervals where the water comes into the well. They're 40 feet apart. And then you can see the sort of olive color markings on the top of that well, 5A, it's on the left. That's where there was some damage to the well in the past, and there was patches put in because of corrosion. And then the blue is where the pump resides in the well. So the water comes into screens to the blue and up, and then from there it goes over to Newport Water Treatment Plant. If you look at the diagram here, those blue lines are basically showing where the water comes into the well, what the flow rates are while the pump is running. So we did a dynamic test, meaning the pump's actually on, and we looked to see where the flow was coming from within the different zones. After we did a flow dynamic test, we looked at water quality. And again, it's kind of a lot of detail here, but what we found was most of the salts were coming from the bottom of the first screen and the bottom of the second screen. It's a schematic, very hard to read. It shows the two wells are 40 feet apart. It shows a lot of details of construction. And again, we can go into this in some detail. What's shown in red is the salt zone. In Discovery Bay, the shallow zone is the first water. If you were to go out to your yards and put in a well, shallow well, and took the water sample, you'd find very salty water. And when we build our wells, we go past the salty zone to the underlying formation where there's not any salt present. The concern is in some cases you can have problems with the well or a seal in the well, and the salt goes from that upper zone down into the well itself. And the mechanism here is we think that it's one of two things. Either it's coming down within the well structure itself, coming from the salt zone, from the upper salt zone downward, or it's coming from the old well 5 and then cross over to the pumping well 5A. So when we finished our report and analysis and the details are presented in the handout there, we had some recommendations. One was to notify the Department of Health that we do have these detections. You're required to let them know that, particularly if you're exceeding the drinking water standard, secondary drinking water standard, even if it's that, to notify them of that result. The next recommendation we had in there, and it's one that we're implementing at the current time,
is we want to make sure that we're not serving any customers water that exceeds drinking water standards. And we've never had, that's never happened, even though 5A exceeded the standard. It never happened because 5A combines with water from 4A, and it goes through a treatment plant, the Newport treatment plant, where it's blended, and then the salt concentration that ends up going through the water treatment plant to the storage tanks and into the distribution system meets drinking water standards. And so our recommendation in our report is, let's monitor raw water coming in from 5A and 4A, and let's look at the finished water going to customers, going to the users that are here today, and we want to ensure that we don't exceed secondary drinking water standards. The plant's designed to allow good mixing, and you're fortunate in that extent, to that extent that well 4A and 5A do mix together, and so it's something that can be managed. We also had recommendations for downhole monitoring of well 5A. It's a pretty simple recommendation. Basically, we can lower a probe down in the well when it's running, and we can see if there's any further changes, or we want to make sure it doesn't get worse with time, or if it even improves with time, and we can talk about that a little bit too. Install monitoring wells. That's one option too. It's mentioned in the master plan. Basically, it could be informative if we had a shallow well located in the shallow salt zone, so we can monitor that. We don't have any wells in that area around 5A, and there could be merit to doing that. Finally, conducting additional testing in well 5A to look at future operational strategies. Let me just go to this final question here, but so where do we sit today? So well 5A, historically it had salt, now we see more salt. So what's the picture of that well? Well, number one, it could be used as an emergency supply source well, meaning in some cases the Department of Health would allow you to keep a well active, designated as emergency backup, even though it exceeds the standards, and there could be some merit to that, meaning in some situation, if you have well failure of other wells, they'll let you run a well even if it doesn't, if it exceeds the standards. They won't let you run it permanently, but they'll let you run it on a limited basis. Another option is, what would the TDS levels do if we ran it instead of the normal 2,000 gallons per minute, if we ran it at 1,000 gallons per minute? How would that affect the water quality? Certainly, if we have a 2,000 gallon per minute well, we run it at 1,000 gallons per minute, it's a problem in that we can't meet the demand as easily. And the third is that there is a couple of fixes that we could look into. We've got some ideas in terms of working on the well, placing different structures within the well that might improve it. We don't see it as an idea solution in the sense that it's the answer, but it could work and it could produce a well that still has some use to the district. And so I know that also there will be questions how this relates with well 7. Well 7 was a bit controversial here. It was discussed in the master plan. Well 7 was a well that provided improved reliability to the district, meaning if one well failed, the new well 7 could improve system reliability. And there was a component of well 7 that was also of use to future growth and development. So it always had both of those options. But now with well 5 being problematic, more the use of that, the new well 7 becomes more addressing reliability and replacement of well 5A. So way more relevant in terms of system reliability and need than it was at the time we produced the master plan.
I've got two questions. One And obviously you guys have looked into this, but I'm a layman. So if we're getting seepage from the first and second aquifer that we think, right, that's getting in there, creating the salt problem?
Yeah, the upper zone.
Correct. How can we not screen it? Can we not block that off with the casing and so it doesn't seep somehow?
Well, the way the wells are designed now, and you can't really see it from this drawing here, but there's seals that were to protect that movement downward. And what happens, in this case, we're not sure of, say, the well five, the seals aren't working effectively, or some other mechanisms involved where when you put a pump in that lower zone and turn it on, the water pumping water level comes down in that well, and then it creates a gradient that then allows the salt to come down the well structure. In this case, we think it might be coming down well five when we start pumping, and then it goes sideways after it goes down the structure. So normally, the lower zone is protected by a low permeability clay material that's extensive in this area, so it's always naturally separating itself. But if you penetrate that clay zone with a well or some other structure, that's when you can create a pathway.
And my second question is, we're looking at putting 7 fairly close to 5. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be problematic as well?
It would be of concern. We do think this is a local problem around this well. We did notice, too, that when well 5A wasn't being pumped and it sat there for a extended period of time, the water quality returned to what we'd expect it to be in the other wells. It's kind of interesting that it changed that quickly. And then we are concerned it's about 1,000 feet away, 7 is from 5. And so we've got monitoring wells that we're putting in as part of the work we're doing at 7 that will provide information on that subject. Yeah, Rick?
Okay, we're using 5A, not 5.
5A.
Yeah, okay, but 5, you think 5, so can't we just fill up 5?
5A has been abandoned.
5.
I'm sorry. 5 has been abandoned.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm my mind is, how is, then if that's the case, when you start pumping 5A, how do you get that if it's abandoned? It's abandoned, but it's not closed. I mean, if we just filled it up with cement, could that stop that from drawing the salt from the, into 5A?
Yeah, it is filled with concrete.
It is
on the inside.
It's on the inside.
But the problem is that the annulus is only partially filled. They put discrete seals in the annulus and left portions that are open, including opposite a zone that connects right over to 5A. So we think that's the pathway. The problem is with that well filled with concrete, we can't go back in it and affect the seal of that. So it's like the only way to do it is if you could somehow dig up the entire well, pull it out, and then fill up the borehole with concrete. But the well itself actually serves as an impediment to getting 100% effective seal. So it was approved at the time. It's the kind of seal that the county approved and met their standards. I think today in 2012 versus 1991, we would, the standards would be applied differently or they'd be more stringent. So it's probably a legacy of just sort of technology catching up now and not maybe being as effective back then.
I suppose Graves.
Thank you. That's a great question, Ray. It's on my list. It's exactly what I was thinking. You talked about, first of all, when was well 5A drilled and came, and when did it come online?
It was in 1996 or so.
Okay. How have the flows changed in well 5A between then and now? Have they maintained? Where are we on that?
We think that the salts we're seeing might be related with the flow rates.
The higher flow rates.
Higher flow rates, right?
So if you were to reduce your flow rates from 2,000 to 1,000, as you indicated, John, does the water get better at the plant because it's less is combining with well 4A through dilution, or because the quality of the water is getting better?
Oh. We think, and it's a simple test, obviously, if we can just valve it off and let it run for a long time. Right now we can't do it because we need all the water.
Sure.
But it's a very easy test to do. And so we just valve it off and run it at 1,000 and see what it does. So you can imagine 5A might have some value still as a 1,000-gallon minimum.
And then I guess, finally, I'd look at this and say that this is great. Priest, thank you for the report. Thank you for bringing the information to us in detail as well as in general so we can understand it. But it looks to me like your recommendations indicate to me that we really don't know still, that we're still it's still an open book. There's no real solution being given to us here today. Is that correct?
I think that's correct in the sense that the exact mechanism isn't pinned down.
Okay.
We know that the salt has come from that upper zone. We don't know if it's an inner well problem or a well problem from the other well. And if we did know that, we still have problems correcting it, potentially.
Can we do a monitoring well next to it?
Yeah. Well, one of our recommendations that we were saying there, Chris, was a monitoring well in the shallow zone that would provide some information.
It's boring.
I think the question too will be raised is like, is if you were to solve the problem, or you had some way of solving the problem, how much would it cost to solve it? How reliable was the fix? And how reliable is it long term anyway? So at some point, the cost of pursuing this further versus saying, hey, this has been problematic for years and it's cost money for years, is there validity in continuing to investigate it? We feel that there's a couple things we could do that might be worthwhile trying, the lower cost sort of solutions that we'd like to pursue. But at some point, even if we do pursue those, it's a well that has problems.
Point number one, there's been a hell of a lot of investment in this well, regardless of what the deal is. So a couple of things is, what about, instead of going all the way to 1,000, split the baby, try 1,500.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like the 1,000 was arbitrary, really, right? It could be 1,500. We can find that out.
And then my other thing is that you are, when you're blending it with 4A, mm-hmm. you are then, the bottom line is, what you send off is good.
Yes.
If you lower it, say, down to 1,500,
mm-hmm.
in the combination of the blending, I'm not saying this well is going to be the best performer, but I'm saying it's worth trying to keep that investment.
By the way, the video we have, and in we did some things 5 years ago to protect the column pipe. So it looks like the structure of the well and the column pipe, et cetera, is intact. So that part's good. That was a plus of our findings. And then like we said, the efficiency of this well is on par with any others, meaning the energy it takes to pump the water, the flow rates and the heads are everything that we want from it. So it's good as a producer and it operates well. It's just the water quality issue. Yeah, Jim.
I'll defer to Virgil at this time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure the board's aware these two wells are only 40 to 50 feet apart. Generally, you do not drill another well that close to each other. So the first well of five, which is abandoned and sealed up, is only 40 to 50 feet away from this particular well.
So we did two bad things. We drilled the well too close and we did a terrible job.
Well 1B is close to another well, but typically these guys would probably recommend to you they'd like to go at least 500 to 1,000 feet away or further to drill another well. Typically, I remember your boss years ago or meeting in the drugstore talking about well 1B and where to drill it. And I remember those words he said, too close is not good.
Yeah. But it's sort of like sometimes you're supposed to do it because it's the property you have, et cetera.
Go ahead, Chen.
What percentage of number four are we producing now?
Of the Newport treatment plant, it's half of that side of things, but I'd say overall, it's 2,000 gallons per minute of I'd say it's like a third or less than a third. There's five wells total, but four is a pretty good producer and five is a good producer. Take, for example, it produces 2,000. Well, one is 1,800, and then so it's a better producer, but one third to one fifth, you know, basically.
I guess my question is, can we produce more out of four and less out of five for the blend?
Well, we could possibly do that, but that'd take some upgrades, and it wouldn't maybe get you anywhere because you're not gonna. You need the flow from 5A. You couldn't get it from 4A. See, they both produce 2,000 gallons per minute, so you might get a few more hundred gallons per minute from 4A, but not make up close to what you need that you get from 5A.
Got it.
So you really need the production.
Got it.
And you need the production, by the way, of all your wells now, because you're right at the limit of production. And so you need 5A right now. It's hard to say what the state might say if they have a well that exceeds the salt TDS level, but for sure now they're not going to be too tough, we don't think, because you need to water.
Mr. Senator?
Yeah, Ernie?
Over the last year or so, when we've talked about well five, well five's been the basically definitely lucky this guy is falling in, this will get quit at any moment.
Yes.
Yeah, I've listened to you right now, Senator. There's really, other than this problem, which there may be solutions we haven't tried yet, there really is nothing wrong with this well. You're saying the well's in good shape, it produces, it's not a bad well.
Yes.
We have, during our conversations when you guys presented your master plan, we were talking about well 7 and its urgency because well 5A could die at any minute now, and it was on its deathbed, and we're now telling a totally different story. It's not on its deathbed.
No, well, it is because this is what the issue was.
But you're saying there's things that we haven't tried yet. That this has been problematic for years, and
they've been trying it. Like if you look at the, you can see it here. See those patches? We've had column pump pipe failure. When I say it's intact now and it's structurally good, it's had a history of a lot of corrosion, a lot of problems. And what I'm saying is today, when we look at it, it's okay, but it's got a history of problems. And now this is the big problem that we've been talking about and concerned about all the time is the high TDS.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is you were saying that there's things we could have tried years ago or we might have tried or might. And I'm thinking at this point, depending on what the cost is, whether it's cost prohibitive, you know, this is $1.5 million well before we throw it away.
Try something.
Why don't we try something to see if we can correct this well?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree somewhere down the road we're going to have to put well 7.
Yeah.
We're all in agreement.
Yeah.
But in this case, to just abandon this or take this down to a non-producing wall and build wall 7, when we might be able to put this wall back on its feet.
Yeah, I think, Ray, we agree. We're not talking about walking away from this well, you know, at this time.
Just a couple comments. One, one of the things we've done with well 5, well 5A was previously the lead well over at Newport. We've switched out in well 4, I believe, is now the lead well at Newport. So if we don't need water, we don't pull from well 5A, we're pulling from well 4. And just a correction on the master plan comment, the master plan was predicated on well 5 remaining in service.
That's limited to
No, it was predicated on well 5 being in full service. It's been, since these issues have come up in the last couple of months, it's become more urgent to discuss well 7. Yes.
So we can take well 5 down right now for service, and we'll impact the. We cannot. If we have another casing problem and we have to take it offline, how does that impact us?
You can't. You could not take 5A offline today.
Okay.
It offline a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you might get by a short term, but overall in June, July, and August.
You could hire off.
Yes. Okay. You need it.
All right. That's what I need to know.
But what you have to do is when you run well 5 today, because of the higher TDS, you also have to be running well 4A. The two have to blend. If well 4A was to stop running,
yeah,
and and then we'll be in a world where then we will probably have to ask the Department of Health for an exceedance to provide a TDS in the system.
And there's no additional processing once it's pumped out. To extract the salt isn't quite a process, right?
No. It's like reverse osmosis.
Exactly.
You can't
right,
get
okay.
anything in any short period of time.
Yeah, man.
Or long period, really.
All right, no problem.
Just for clarification, currently, the quality of the water that is leaving Newport Water Treatment Plant and going out to the homes meets all, exceeds whatever limits the state has set in, and there's absolutely no problem with that water at this point in time. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the state's going to want, when we send them a letter, which was one of our recommendations, we're going to say, hey, we want to know what you're going to do for verifying that. And we started monitoring the raw water from 4A, 5A, and then the finished water too, every day. And like Rick said, we take the control logic such that 4A is the lead. So if the tanks call for water at Newport Drive, 4A comes on. And then if it can't keep up with the demand, 5A comes on. 5A, now the demand is so much that both wells will come on. But 4A comes on first, which is good because it fills the tank with lower TDS water, and then 5A kicks on and it blends and it always stays below the standard limit. Okay. So,
which ensures the dilution rate to be what we need it to be.
Yes,
perfect.
It's not ideal, but it works for now.
All right.
Any public comment? The front, please, podium.
How hard would it be to bring another well online to blend with 5A?
Well, that's what we're talking about with well 7.
We're in the process of doing that right now. As a matter of fact, at the last board meeting, the board authorized Ludo and Scalmanini to move forward on well 7. And so that is in our capital plan that is moving forward and is a part of tonight's agenda as well as our adoption budget.
All right. Any other public comment? All right. Well, this time I'd like to thank you for the update and look forward to the next update.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Director's comments. Go ahead.
I've got several quick items I'd like to move forward with. The Communications Committee agreed in January of 2011 to do a number of things, but it doesn't seem like a lot of those have been moved forward with, and I'd like to see what we need to do to continue to move forward on them. Three things that I would like to do is our monthly newspaper article. I discussed with our general manager back in May. He recommended that if I wanted to draft something up, you take a look at it, confirm it for accuracy, and then submit it to the paper for the community. It was understood there would be no board member's name on it, and the article would be from the town of Discovery Bay. That's number one. Number two, trying to do something. I think what we really need to look at is how we can be a more positive light for our community. A lot of we are not getting anything out there positive. The only thing that the public hears is the editorials in the paper every once in a while. So I'd like to try to move forward on a few things to try to get a more positive aspect of the town. Maybe come up with a Facebook page where it's only a kind of a one-way information page. People can't make any comments on it. Perhaps make a monthly newsletter where we take basically the same article that we might work on a monthly basis from the newspaper and somehow disseminate that to the public as well of different things that we're doing, you know, good in the community. I mean, one of the things I can guarantee you that two-thirds or better, folks don't even know what a CSD is. So it's like starting from there and trying to educate people and inform them of all the good aspects of what we're doing here in Discovery Bay. So, comments on that?
If I may, this is comments from the directors. It's only the only options you have are just a clarifying question.
Put that as an agenda item for next year's meeting.
Yeah, that's good.
What you just
at the end.
About.
Yeah,
at the
end.
I think that's an important item. Okay. Anything else, Jim?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I have a couple of reports to make. I went to the East Contra Costa County Fire Protection District meeting. It was, as was to be expected, rather contentious, and the majority of the comments from the public were to move forward with the 3-3 model, which would have been, which is three engineers or three firemen on each engine at three stations. The other option was four stations with two people on it, but the practicality of it is that you can't, two guys can't do anything when they get to it. Typically, even when they get to a scene of an accident, two firemen can't do much until they get another engine there. So the majority of the people that stood up were in favor of the 3-3 model. Even then, the board tried to go with the 4-2, even though, and let me also say that the fire chief recommended the 3-3 model, as well as three other chiefs that showed up and also recommended the 3-3 model, as well as a large amount of firemen, because from a safety standpoint, for the health and safety of our firefighters, our first responders, a 3-3 model is really the way it needed to go. Fortunately, it went with the 3-3 model was put forward in a motion. Then discussion came back between two Brentwood city council members who are on the board, who then wanted to eliminate Discovery Bay Station as one of the three, and move, and of course have both stations in Brentwood. So in essence, what you had was a group on the board trying to make it the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District located in Brentwood. And you know, the rest of us don't really need any fire protection. Fortunately, one of the Brentwood people actually saw the light, and the vote did pass at 3-3. We will have we are going from 48 firefighters in our district to 27. There will be three at each station, and the three stations will be Discovery Bay, and this was specific in the motion, Discovery Bay, a station in Brentwood, that wasn't clarified which one, and an Oakley station, Knightson, Bethel Island, and a station in Brentwood are going to be closing, and there will be no, and we are a district, and that just is going to make it harder for everybody. If there's a bunch of stuff going on in Oakley, we'll have no coverage out here. If there's a bunch of stuff going on out here, they'll have no coverage in Oakley. If there's stuff going on in Bethel Island, they had three fires in 5 days out there the other day, about 3 weeks ago. There'll be nobody in the Byron station. So it's not good, but it's the best of being not good, and that's all we could get. So that was in essence all that occurred at that meeting, and I'm sorry to have to report to you that we got the best of a worse situation. That's all we did. Secondly, attended the Aviation Advisory Committee meeting. The one thing that affects us is that the two new hangars are open over here at Byron now. That's helping with employment in the area. It's helping with tax base and everything else. There's a new jet. What's it called?
The hangar.
But what's the name of the?
No,
I can't remember. Who are they?
Well, the Patriots.
Well, that's who's in it, but there's a name for the facility, and I forget what it is now.
Sounds like.
But there'll be a grand opening this Sunday at noon. The Patriot jets are housed in one of the hangars, and they're having an opening. I do believe it's invitation only, but you can contact Mike Timby and see if there's any availability for that event. It should be nice. The Patriot jets are going to be over at the NASCAR race doing the flyby, and then they're going to fly right back in and land at the hangar, and we'll get an opportunity to see what's going on at Byron and how commerce is being improved out there. That's all I have.
All right. I have nothing further to report other than just make sure the fire district knows that we're not satisfied. So. All right, let's move on to the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Any comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. New business, town manager.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As the board is aware, the board did accept two master plans earlier in the year, one for water and one for wastewater. And in those master plans, there are a number of projects that are included that require capital improvements for the district. The total of those projects is still a little bit in flux, but we're looking somewhere between $12 and $14 million. At the last board meeting, the district authorized contract with bond counsel, as well as underwriting, and to obtain a credit rating from Standard & Poor's. That has all taken place, those contracts. The meeting with Standard & Poor's is taking place next week. As part of the ability for the district to issue bonds, we have to be part of what's called the Public Financing Authority. The only way to become part of a Public Financing Authority is to join one or to create your own. The Byron Bethany Irrigation District, one of our neighbors over off of Highway, over off of J4, is that agency that we have worked with and we've discussed this with. Our bond counsel, Cameron Weiss, is also representing BBID as their bond counsel as well on another project. And so he was able to bring the two parties together. And what I'd like to do is invite Cameron Weiss up to the, our bond counsel up to the podium, where he will then go through the process of what this action will be for this evening.
Welcome. Yes, thank you. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. And last time we were here, our group was in front of you. We talked about some of the processions, some of the events that needed to take place. And of course, one of them that we outlined right off the bat was gonna be this matter that's before you this evening. It's a very important first step in this process. There's, without a joint powers authority to issue these bonds, you have to do an alternative procedure, which is more expensive, to the tune of at least $50,000 to $100,000. If you were to borrow the authority from the state, to, in other words, as your general manager so stated, that you could join another authority, but again, that's an expensive proposition. They also have limited abilities within those statewide authorities that you have to borrow the power each and every time, and it costs you money, so, and it's quite expensive. So we explored alternatives. We knew you had a good neighbor. I had done some bond council work in the past for Byron Bethany Irrigation District, actually formed their JPA in 2007 between the sanitary district and the Byron Bethany Irrigation District over there, in their jurisdiction, and that was, I believe, successful. We were able to issue bonds in 2007, where there was, before we put authority together, the sanitary district was struggling. You probably heard some of that in the newspapers and so forth. They just didn't know what they were gonna do. There was a lot of ins and outs, and I know your board was part of some of that, and so they really were desperate. They ended up forming the authority, and they were able to bootstrap their power by the nature of having BBID behind them, because the market then saw that they had an alternative, someone else to join with them. And that, just the perception alone in the market is reality sometimes. Very often it's true. In your case, you have a very strong name, as does BBID. I think if the board, you know, tonight after we talk about the resolution and the documents, and if you're in your wisdom, see that that's an appropriate action, I think that you're going to be well served in the marketplace, just not from a legal perspective and from a financial perspective. You're going to be well served in the marketplace. Now, from a legal perspective, what you're doing is you're basically almost getting married. You're getting married without all the with a lot of prenuptials in place. There's not a lot of commitment here. What you're doing is saying, yes, we like the idea, we like the concept, we want the relationship. We don't want any of the financial interminglings. We don't want any kind of conditions. And so as part of the process of going through and just and exploring how can we get to this, you know, because if we came together as one agency with just one authority, we'd most likely mix boards. And so there was a lot of conversation that just didn't seem to go anywhere. So we thought, well, why not have twins? Instead of get married once and have, you know, so we're going to keep this analogy going, having one child and and so forth. We're going to have two. We're going to have twins. And we laughed a little bit about this, but as we were using those types of terms. But it's really true, because if you do that, then you have no obligation to one another. You have your legal authority. You're the board that sits on that authority. It's your auditor that has to put a couple of footnotes in your annual audit statements that said that you issued some bonds, but there's no funds that are flowing through the authority. It's merely a placeholder for the bond issue. Nonetheless, there's a few housekeeping things that have to happen annually. That's one of them, the audit. But other than that, everything is all Discovery Bank. There's a back page mention of who your member is, to make the JPA possible, BBID. The same is true for BBID. We said, well, if we're going to go through this process, their board, of course, knows that it's a powerful matter to be able to go ahead and put forward a bond issue through a financing authority. Their JPA is with the sanitation district. There are some limitations with the sanitary district, so that we thought, well, let's explore this. So the general manager got together with some of his key board members. The idea is going to be floated. If this matter passes tonight, tomorrow, at BBID's board meeting, they're also going to have an identical action be considered on their agenda tomorrow morning. So back to the legal matter at hand here, resolutions before you are: one resolution is to approve the form of the Joint Powers Authority creating the Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority. The other resolution is obviously you would not pass the other resolution unless you adopt the first one. The second resolution is a consideration of adopting a resolution that would approve the Joint Powers Agreement for the creation of the Byron Bethany here, our Public Financing Authority. So the Joint Powers Agreement itself is, as I said, it's a document that has corporate powers structured into it. It names a president, it names a chairman, it names a vice chairman, it names an executive director being the general manager. And what we've done in this document, we've said, rather than have to do a lot of annual cleanup, if you have board members that change hands, we said, let's make the president of the CSD become the chairman of the PFA, and the vice president of the district become the vice chairman of the PFA automatically upon holding the office, that respective office. The same thing with the executive director, your general manager. As that seat position turns over, automatically the position on the JPA would be identically turned over as well. What we haven't done in this document yet is name the treasurer and auditor. And that's okay, because that's going to happen at the next board meeting in July. So what happens in July, this is your, if you adopt these tonight, what you're going to be saying is we're going to authorize your general manager to go ahead and execute this with any approval any changes that your attorney, your general counsel, is going to approve between now and then. It's been a bit of a quick matter. Your counsel hasn't had a chance to review this in detail, so we're going to have that opportunity over the next month to do that. But tonight, if you agree to pass the resolution, you're adopting the form of this document, and you're saying, general manager, with any final changes of your counsel, we're going to allow you to do that. And then we're going to come back in July, and we're going to open the PFA for business. And the first resolution is going to be to just do that, to start to name the officers, appoint the treasurer, the auditor, talk about some of the housekeeping things that have to happen each and every year. There's not going to be many, but there will be a few. So, and after that adoption of that resolution, we're going to come back again. We're going to be right on the agenda that evening, if everything goes according to plan, to adopt the form documents for the bond issue. So there's a lot that's going to take place between now and the middle of July.
Ask a quick question.
Go ahead.
When you appoint the president and the vice president of the board to the chair and vice chair position, what authority are you giving them?
What authority are you giving up?
Are you giving them, the two of them, are you giving them authority that exceeds the authority of the rest of the board? Or are you giving them a power that the rest of the board does not hold?
No.
This board operates on a majority, obviously, on a quorum.
The same. It's going to be a majority quorum type of the board. Yes, exactly. But it's going to be just as the president does here. When the president's available, the president moderates, leads the procession, leads the order. The same goes for the, for the proposed PFA. Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to add one thing. Rick Gilmore is the Fire Bethune Irrigation District General Manager. He's here this evening, so if you do have any questions of BBID, he's here and he can answer those. And Rick, can you raise your hand so everybody knows who you are? Thank you for that. I will be attending, assuming this goes forward this evening, their meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. As this matter is on their agenda, and it's basically the reverse action of what we're taking. The resolutions, I believe, Camber, will be in reverse order, theoretically.
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Schroeder, please.
Thank you, President Steele, board members. Mr. Weiss has done an admirable job on such a large and complex transaction in such a short period of time. Just want to let you know, even though that he is representing you on this transaction, he has asked that I take a look at the documents and provide any comments to him, and I will be doing that in the next week. Thank you.
Any comments? Any public comment? All right. No comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Simon.
You're going to review these documents, but they're asking us to make a decision tonight. At this point, we've got off waiting to review the documents before we make a decision.
You can approve the resolution subject to my final, edits to the final document.
For the timing of this thing, we've got to make it for their meeting tomorrow.
I would like to make a motion that we adopt resolution 2012-14 and 2012-15. Approving both resolutions.
I'll second that.
Point of clarification, did your motion include subject to my approval of the final document?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Point of order. We also need to add item number 3 into the recommended action, which is to approve the form of the joint powers, the joint exercise of powers agreement, and authorize the general manager to execute PFA agreements in the name of and on behalf of the town of Discovery Bank.
Excuse me. Where are you looking now?
That's under the recommended action under item number 3. There's 3 actions that are recommended that are in the recommended action section of the agenda report. The first one is to adopt the first resolution 2012-14. The second action is to the second recommendation is adopt 2012-15. And then the third one is to approve the joint exercise of powers.
How come I don't find it?
It's on the staff report.
You got the
second action.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my second.
All right. Any public comment? No comment. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much, and Rick, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
You got it.
I am very pleased to bring this item to the board this evening. It has been with a lot of effort and a lot of work on behalf of staff, and I'd like to thank Dina for all the hard work that she put in, as well as Virgil, Amy, and Farron Perez, Calista, and Carol. And with that, we are last week's board workshop, we had a workshop on the proposed 2012-13 operating capital and revenue budgets. At that workshop, the board made a couple of minor edits, changes to that. Those changes are included in the budget document this evening. The budget is balanced. Revenues match, expenditures match revenues. And if you would like, if you have any other questions about the budget, staff is here and can address any of them. The one thing we did add, we did increase an additional $20,000 in the Zone 8 budget for the pickleball sports court. That was the biggest change that came out of last week's meeting. So if the board does have any questions, staff will be very happy to address them. I'd also like to mention for the board that the the CIP sheet and the operating sheets have been corrected for you, so that they are much more easier to read than last week's version.
Yes.
And so hopefully that should be helpful for you.
Good. Thank you.
Much more colorful.
Yeah. Thank you. No questions. Does anybody like to make a motion? Any public comment? There's a lot of pickleball players in the audience. Okay, no public comment. Would you like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. We approve the 2012-13 budget and the resolution, actually, which is 2012-12.
I'll second that.
All right. Any more public comment? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. All right. Item four, please.
Item four is to adopt the resolution authorizing the Discovery Bay Lighting and Landscaping Zone 8 appropriations limit for FY 2012-13. Each year, the district is required for identifying its appropriation limit pursuant to Article 13B of the California Constitution, which was authorized by the voters and is known as Proposition 4 for the GAN limit.
I'm sorry. I just did that.
You were reading the right thing.
Or you
reading
the right thing. I got you. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong tab. Staff has worked with the engineering firm and has collected all the pertinent information from the California Department of Finance, calculated the appropriations limit, and for FY 12-13 to be $497,000. $497,620.79. Staff requested the board adopt the resolution. This is an annual item that we bring before you for FY 12-13 appropriations limit for Zone 8. Right.
Questions, comments? Any public comment?
I make a motion we adopt resolution 2012-13 establishing the Discovery Bay Lighting Landscape Zone 8 2012-2013 appropriation limit not to exceed $497,620.79.
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item four.
Item four, yes, thank you. This is an agency comment request from the county. It's a home occupation use permit. Applicant is last name Accord. Land use permit 12-2067. We get these on a periodic basis. This is a request for a permit to open up to operate a home-based business for insurance, sales, and services. It's located at Keystone Loop in Discovery Bay. There's a diagram of the property attached, and the county is seeking input from the board on this item.
Any people coming over? No.
Compliant with their HOA?
I don't know.
Yeah, I have no comment.
No comment.
We will send the appropriate letter to the county then tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Thank you. The Veolia report, please.
Bernie Sadler is not here this evening. He had to fly out of town this evening and so was unable to make the meeting. The report is attached as part of the agenda.
Yep.
He will be here at the next meeting and he will review both months at that point in time.
All right. Sure, comment, please.
I'm sorry. With your indulgence, President Steele, I just as I look out here now and the place is empty, I just want to thank the Boy Scouts for being here tonight. And I'm sure you guys are having a blast, right? This is really exciting stuff. But I know it's part of your badging, and I just want to thank you for being here and for being patriotic and loyal members of the Boy Scouts of the United States of America. Thanks a lot for being here, you guys.
All right, so we'll get an update from Veolia next week. The report was, we'll get a clarification on that. Any manager's reports?
I just have one item, actually two items this evening. The first item is just to remind everybody that our regularly scheduled board meeting for the 4G July, the first meeting is canceled due to the Independence Day holiday. It would fall on July the 4th. I don't think anybody wants to be here that day. And the second item is back in, I believe, February or March, we brought to the board an item for a contract with a consulting firm named Bartles and Wells to conduct a capacity fee study for us. That study is moving forward. I received this morning, actually, the final draft, if you will. We are meeting with the consultants again on Friday morning to put our, hopefully, our final touches on it. And we anticipate it being, we anticipate it to be at the board meeting on July the 6th, July the 18th. If you have any questions about that, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Turn the sound off, please.
No, I just, at the end of your report, I have a question about it. I'll wait to report that. Okay. Where are we at with large?
No, we said that we would bring that back on July the 18th. Let's set whatever the meeting is, July is, the date of July, we would bring it back. But just to give you real quick, we have sent out notices to those property owners. Shut off notices.
How much time did you get?
It's pursuant to state law. I don't remember what the date was.
Thank you.
Any questions? All right. Good. All right. Council, please.
Thank you, President Steele and board members. Briefly, there was a special meeting tonight at 6:30. There was one item, item D1, which is a closed session item. The report, again, is that all five board members were present during the entirety of the closed session, and there's no reportable action. In addition, I would like to report a recent action that has been filed on behalf of the district against Southwest Water Company. They were your operator up until a few years ago. This lawsuit involves a claim for damages by the district against Southwest for a spill that occurred back in 2008. This was filed on June 6th, and a copy of the complaint is available on the district's website. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Committee updates.
Just one thing on this. These are the minutes of the final budget review committee, and so the committee will not meet again to actually approve them.
Okay.
So they will perpetually remain in draft status.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. So we've got some correspondence this month. Okay. Any public records requests? That's more public records requests. Board, any future agenda items?
Yes, I'd like to put the Communications Committee agenda that I just said recently back on there, please, for future agenda items.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right. All right, thanks again, Boy Scouts. It's good to see you out there tonight. At this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Da-da-da.